much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got every kind of audience out there, and when I yell, why don't I get my mic turned down? I'm gonna blow the speakers if I don't get it loud. Give me some volume. When I yell, I want to be heard. Because I only yell when there's an occasion for yelling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Why is Bean Bree stupid? You're so stupid, Bean.
Yeah, because these kids have been following me around everywhere. Yeah, and you know, the great thing is they're cheap, you know? So it won't cost you much. And I just think it's real important to support young people getting a leg up in the business. Yeah,
we'd have to use a union crew.
Yeah, then they're gone.
And now.
Don't think we forgot, Kevin. Or should I call you Lammy?
Our feature presentation.
Yeah.
Lammy.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 11th of double December.
How's Muggs's facial hair doing? Is that growing back at all?
Well, he sort of trimmed it a little bit, but it's still there. Still there. So he's no goat. I mean, he's got just the chin music,
right?
But no stash. And ask me why? Why no stash?
Why no stash?
Burned it off with weed.
That's right.
That's my favorite thing, and I don't think we've gotten that story out yet, and we need to.
Yeah, how does something like that happen?
Well, because he does, he smokes it all the time.
Right.
So.
But usually you don't light your facial hair on fire.
Right. So what went
wrong? You're saying it just makes him sloppy, you mean, Lisa?
Well, no, I'm just saying he should know how to do it by now.
I have a perfectly good explanation.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Right.
Okay.
Not now, though.
You guys believe in karma? You guys believe in good things happen to good people?
Bad things happen to
bad people?
Sort of, but I also think that there are a lot of people that's not – I mean, I don't think it's 100%.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I think if you put out a lot of negative energy, you will get negative energy back. But a lot of bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, now I don't know how to
– Yeah, I agree with you completely, Kevin, and I wonder why there are so many people who are quick to point out karma – because it seems like they pointed out on occasions where it went the way they think it should go, and they just want to ignore the millions of times that it goes the other way.
Right.
So people in Florida right now are confused. Mount Dora is a location in Florida where this story happens. There's a man named Timothy Poole. It doesn't say how old he is in the article, which is unusual for a news report, but it does mention, and there is a photo, that he is 450 pounds.
Oh.
He has been in prison numerous times, including being arrested in 1999 for the charge of sexually battering a 9-year-old boy. He lived in the victim's family's home and was found in bed with the boy. He claims nothing happened. He was completely innocent. The boy says the bad man made me touch it. So he was he pled down to attempted sexual battery and did 13 months in jail. And then he was released and was ordered to serve 10 years of sex offender probation and register as a predator, which is normal. Well, he failed to show up for counseling sessions and in 2003 went back to prison, this time for 3 full years. He was released in 2006. He's had a clean record since then. He has been working for his mother's taxi company as a driver and dispatcher. The reason he is in the news is last weekend he bought a winning lottery ticket at a convenience store in Mount Dora and won $3 million.
Wow.
And in the state of Florida, as in many states, they do not – that's not that does not disqualify you from winning a big prize. And people are just outraged in Florida. They think that he should be required to turn the money over to the victim's family, even though he, you know, served his time.
Yeah.
They think that he shouldn't be allowed to get the money. $3 million. So what do you make of a guy like this who's a convicted child molester winning a big-time lottery payment?
He bought a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that old joke of, like, I forget who it is. He keeps going, God, please, please let me win the lottery. And finally God says, would you buy a ticket?
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You just go, well, you know what? That guy deserves much much less, and hopefully he'll OD with that $3 million.
The good news is, yeah, often the lottery does not come with good things.
Right.
The winning.
Well, he probably will die. If he's the kind of guy who already weighs 450 pounds, he does have trouble avoiding excess.
Yeah.
So now that he's got all of this money, it's probably going to lead to bad things. But that also leaves me with confused feelings, too, because he served his time and has had a clean record on all counts, no arrests whatsoever since 2006. So once you're convicted of a crime and sentenced to the jail and do your time, do we want bad things to happen to you for the rest of your life, or at some point do you get to start over?
Well, I mean, my mind says he paid his due.
Mm-hmm.
But every other part of me says F him for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life. So for like 60 years, you want boils and bad things to happen to him.
When if you're abusing little children or kids, then you're a bad person.
Yeah.
You could pay your debt, and I understand that, and legally I understand that, but you're a bad person.
By the way, here's why you live in a state with no state income tax, by the way.
I don't.
$3 million.
First of all.
No, here's why you want to. Oh. Here's why everybody should move into states with no state income tax. He won a $3 million Florida lottery scratch-off ticket. His lump sum one-time payment, $2,219,807.
Not bad.
Makes a big difference not paying the state, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So 450-pound Timothy Poole is walking around with more than $2 million. By the way, a friend of his interviewed by the TV station says that he hopes that Poole will enjoy his lottery winnings. He says his friend plans to invest some of the money in his mother's taxi business. He's a very positive person. He's very kind and very giving. I think that's why he won. It's Christmas time, and the dude deserves a break. So there you go. That's a story for you to ponder if you want to figure out, if you want to try to explain karma or God, you've got a story to start with today.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it makes my head hurt.
Same.
Too much. It's too thinky.
It is. It's too thinky.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and B Show, shall we?
Well, I wouldn't break my arm patting myself on the back if I were you.
Well, let's wait and see. Sometimes we can pull it off. Jim Rome will be on the program today talking sports and why the Dodgers traded every player they have.
They do seem like they're trying to field an all-new team next year.
I don't even follow baseball, and I'm seeing a bunch of alerts about, oh, they traded this guy, they traded that guy.
Everyone you've ever heard of is going.
Weird. We also have Dr. Drew on the show today. Mm-hmm. We have top 10 Omar intros.
Can't wait. We're so excited about that.
Counting down some of those as we near the end of the year. God punished Kim Kardashian by making her fat when she was pregnant. So that's weird.
Aren't you supposed to gain weight while you're pregnant? Isn't that for the baby's benefit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking real life?
Yes.
Okay. She says it was punishment from God.
Huh. For having sex?
I don't think so. I think
or for getting pregnant.
I think it was for being vain, for caring too much about what she looks like.
And then she immediately got thin and took pictures naked?
And took pictures quickly naked.
Okay. Well, she learned her lesson.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear her explanation on how that works.
Comedian Brad Williams is back.
Yes.
Very excited. Have him
been
back
a while.
It has been a while. And we've got tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. We've got your chance for night one and then a little bit later in the show, both nights. Which
Excellent.
Is coming up this weekend. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Ralph Garman comes bearing glad tidings and news. What's going on, man?
It's all about Hollywood.
Yay!
Golden Globes Awards. Nominations were released this morning.
They've become a thing, right?
Well, it's a very popular television show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, that's why people are starting to pay attention now. It's always sort of been an asterisk when it came to legitimate award season, because it's made up of, I don't know, like 90 reporters from around the world. That's all that votes on this. And they have a long reputation of being easily swayed by wining and dining and celebrity, and they're a little starstruck.
So people that play the game with them probably have a leg up.
They tend to fare better than people who won't. So the whole thing has always been a little suspect in Hollywood circles, but the television show is always a big hit because, first of all, they serve booze at the awards. So everyone,
you had that, first of all.
Everyone
that's
tends
smart.
To get loose and a little giddy. In the past couple of years, they've had Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosting, and it's been a sort of a jolly affair, and people are responding now.
Let's bear in mind, they're foreign journalists who vote, too, so they're not even American, so how good can they be?
Good point, Bean. Thanks for putting the cherry on top of the sundae. there's a lot of nominations. We won't go through them all, but this is the interesting thing about the Golden Globe. The one really strong thing, I think, about it, the Oscars would be served well to adapt, is that they have two categories for best motion picture, one drama and then one musical or comedy.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they would finally do that?
It stops the lighter fare from having to compete with these heavy, heavy dramatic films that almost always win, certainly when it comes to the Oscars. So here are your nominations for best motion picture drama. Boyhood, which is getting a ton of attention. That's the film that was made in basically real time. As that kid grew up, they followed him for 12 years and shot the movie around.
You guys watch that?
I have not had a chance to see it yet.
I'm dying to see it.
No, you're not.
Have not.
You're not dying.
I am. I really
am.
I
can't. See it. It's been out for a while. If you were dying to see it, you could have went to see it.
I can't believe how long it has taken to go on demand or be available digitally. I'm surprised. But, I mean, by all accounts, it's the, you know, many people say it was the best film of the year.
However, theaters.
Well, theaters do exist. I don't go often. But
so if you're dying, I'm saying if you're dying to see something.
It's on me.
Because theaters.
Yes.
Okay. You're not dying.
Why, Kevin? Do you have a strong feeling about it one way or another?
Well, it just strikes me as gimmicky. And so I don't know
if it was
it really that good?
Or, how dare
I'm asking.
You.
I don't know.
Those who say it's gimmicky are ill-advised.
Okay.
Foxcatcher. It's another movie I want to see. Story of that true life story of the DuPont who had that wrestling camp and he was all psychotic and kinky and whatnot. Steve Carell. Tour de force, they're saying. The Imitation Game. That's Stephen Hawking as a guy who figures stuff out without his wheelchair.
I don't know how he does it, but it's very
Benedict
impressive. Cumberbatch playing Alan Turing helping win the war.
Oh, okay. That sounds different.
Breaking codes.
Selma.
Oh, Selma.
Looks so good.
So good.
I don't know what that is.
Selma, of course, the civil rights battle that was held there.
Okay.
Major event in the civil rights.
It's your Martin Luther King story there, Kevin.
I don't even know what that is.
And The Theory of Everything. That's the one. That's the one with Stephen Hawking.
That's the one.
Singing and dancing, right? Is it all singing, all dancing?
No singing, no dancing, Ralph. That's a batch of good movies right there.
It is. Best motion picture, comedy, or musical? This is odd, but see, again, sometimes the categories get blurry where you put things. Birdman.
Hmm.
Birdman in comedy or musical.
Hmm.
Wow.
Didn't seem like either of those.
By all accounts, is neither.
That's a drama.
Yeah, with comic overtones. I mean,
yeah, but not many.
Not many.
Not much.
The Grand Budapest Hotel, Into the Woods, Pride. I don't know what that is.
Pride.
I don't know.
Okay.
Hmm. And St. Vincent, the Bill Murray film. So those are your best motion picture nominees. Now for best TV, because they also do that. Best television series drama, The Affair on Showtime. Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, The Good Wife, and House of Cards. And best motion picture... Best TV series, comedy or musical, Girls, Jane the Virgin, Orange is the New Black, Silicon Valley, and Transparent.
Wow.
Hmm.
Transparent's over there at Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's the story of Jeffrey Tambor playing a transgender parent.
How is Veep not in that?
That's what I want to know!
Because that is a great show.
One of the funny shows on television so far. Again, see, sometimes that's why it leads people to scratch their heads, because they say, well, maybe there was some campaigning that wasn't done or wasn't properly, asses weren't kissed or something. Who knows?
I looked at Pride.
Pride!
Which is the story of the mine workers that were on strike in England
and
the gay and lesbian activists that raised money to help them.
Right. Thank you, Lisa. Somebody around here cares about facts. It's not me.
Certainly not the guy reporting it.
No, it is not. Another day, another lawsuit filed against Bill Cosby.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, man. Can we just assume
this is separate from
the
women who are coming forward. Don't confuse this with women who are coming forward saying he raped them.
Oh, this is a different
charge?
This
is lawsuits.
Oh, okay.
Now, not everyone who's come forward and told their story is suing him.
Okay.
These are lawsuits that are filed against him. This is only the third lawsuit amongst dozens of women.
But they're doing that because they can't legally charge him, but they can still sue him.
This woman, interestingly, is not suing for the act.
Okay.
She is suing for libel, for defamation of character. Because she, Tamara Green, who's now 65 years old, claimed Cosby raped her in the early 70s when she was an aspiring model and singer. She has come forward with her story and did so in 2005.
Okay.
She was one of the few women to be public about this before this latest onslaught of... alleged victims. She was on the Today Show in 2005 with her story. It was picked up by the Philadelphia Inquirer. It was published in the Washington Post and Newsweek. Cosby and his legal team came forward back in 2005 claiming that she was lying. She is now suing Cosby and his legal team for, in effect, calling her a liar when she said she had been drugged and raped, when, by all accounts, it seems as if she was, in fact, telling the truth. So now she's taking that legal tact, which sounds
like... That is interesting if denying a charge is the same as committing libel.
Denying That's a charge is not the same thing as saying someone is lying.
Well, you're saying somebody is lying the minute you say, no, that's not what happened.
It's different.
You're saying the other person is lying.
Well, yes, that's implied, but it's very different than saying coming forward saying that woman is making up, these are all charges she's making up lies. These are all lies.
Interesting. Mm.
It's one thing to say, I didn't do anything. It's another thing to point a finger at that with someone and say, that person is a liar, publicly.
Hmm. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
I think it's an interesting legal attack, and I wish her the best. Plus, beat the liar. So I want to
sue you, man.
I'd like to sue him at some point.
Suing you, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Secretary of State John Kerry is 71 years old today. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx turns 56. Mos Def, who I don't even think goes as Mos Def anymore. I don't believe that's his name anymore.
Just Def?
I wish someone would change this.
Just
Mos? I can't remember.
He's got a new Muslim name, I think.
Yeah, he's got a new moniker. We'll have to work on that. He's 41 years old.
I just call all of them Yusuf Islam. That's if I don't know the name, I just go with the name Cat Stevens took.
All right.
All of them? Really?
Yes. People who change their names.
You have a blanket Muslim name
yes,
for people?
That's right. It's Yusuf Islam, which is a great name.
I cannot wait to get you in court. And Haley Steinfeld, the lovely and talented actress, who is, I guess, True Grit is where she caught all of our attentions. She's 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning, next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, we will hook you up with tickets to night number one of the sold-out K-Rock 25th anniversary. I forgot what it's called now. 25th anniversary.
No one helped.
Sold out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. There it is. Got those tickets for you. Plus, comedian Brad Williams. That's all on the way. But first, what's going on with your girlfriend Kim Kardashian, Kevin?
I love her so much.
Do you now?
Well, in a bad way, yeah. Kim Kardashian has an interesting theory. She gained some pregnancy weight while pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
She could have been surprised by that. She lives on the earth and knows other women, right?
She has a sister who's been pregnant 1,000 times.
She told the magazine Elle in the UK that she blames her much-talked-about weight gain last year on God.
Well,
so she gained some weight when she was pregnant, and it was God's fault. And then she goes on, I think God was doing this for a reason, she says. He was saying, Kim, you think you're hot, but look what I can do to you.
But didn't she just gain weight because you're supposed to gain weight? Because your body is preparing for the baby and you're preparing to be able to breastfeed and you have the weight of the baby?
Yes,
and then
if you don't gain weight, it's really bad.
Really bad,
really
for, the
bad
baby, yeah.
for the baby,
You guys don't know. It's God.
Well,
it's not pregnancy. It's God.
Let's find out what's on Kim's pretty little mind. She joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Kim Kardashian.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hot.
You are hot.
Well, yeah. You are attractive. That's true. Seems like you've lost that that weight you gained for the baby, huh?
Yeah.
We were reading part of the interview from the Elle magazine in the UK, and you said that God was behind your weight gain.
Well, God is behind me. Look at my behind.
Okay. All right. Why do you think it was just him screwing around with you and making you look not hot?
Because he thought I was too full of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I'm so hot. And then he's like, look what I can do to you. I can put a baby inside you and make you fat. And I was like, God.
I thought you and Kanye wanted a baby.
We did, but I didn't know it would make me all huge.
Okay, now.
Stupid, ugly.
Okay, now that's the issue right there. So you know that when women get pregnant, they gain weight. They're supposed to. That's how the
body. It's a good thing. Like Lisa said, it's bad news if you don't gain weight. You're supposed to gain, 20, 25 pounds.
I thought like 3 pounds would be good.
No!
That's not good for the baby.
That's less than the baby
huge
weighs.
And fat. I looked like a regular person.
That did happen.
I mean, you did gain some weight because you were pregnant.
I was huge.
Right. But you know, you saw your sister's had kids.
She didn't get that huge.
Well, she got, you know, she gained weight.
Here's Kim's quote. I'm an Armenian girl. I have shape, and it turned out people like that. That just makes me feel good about myself and about other women for being so supportive. Is that what happened? Were other women supportive of you, Kim?
Yes, they said, it's okay. Don't worry. Eventually that horrible baby will come out of you, and you'll be thin and naked again.
But the horrible baby.
Thank you.
But this is
as soon as I got thin again, I got naked again.
Yeah, you actually did do that, yeah. But it was worth it. Wasn't it worth it to have little Northwest? She's so cute.
I suppose. The nannies tell me she's nice.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
The art of holiday gifting has been perfected at Slater's 5050. Introducing self-gifting. This December, purchase a $50 gift card at our Pasadena, Anaheim, Huntington Beach, Lake Forest, or Rancho Cucamonga locations, and you'll get $10 to spend at Slater's 5050. Buy a $100 gift card and we'll double it to $20. So instead of giving socks or a sweater, embrace self-gifting and give your friends, family, and yourself something you'll actually enjoy this holiday season. Slater's 5050. Burgers, bacon, beer. Visit Slater's5050.com for more details.
CBS Thursday. In a city of a million crimes.
Come along, Watson. Dead body awaits.
Sherlock Holmes is one of a kind.
You would classify this as a homicide, would you not?
Yeah.
You would be wrong.
Sherlock Holmes is pretty hard to forget.
I have thrived here, not because of who I am, but because of who I have come to know.
See why critics say Elementary is so good, it's great.
We work well together. I consider you to be exceptional.
Thank you.
Elementary, Thursday, only CBS.
Perhaps when you think cruise, you'd imagine staged entertainment, excessive dining, dressy attire, and stops in only a few major ports. Hurtigruten is none of that. On board our smaller ships, you're in good company with like-minded, active, inquisitive travelers. Norway's celebrated Hurtigruten route includes over 1,000 miles of stunning coastline. Find your voyage today by calling 855-370-2651. On a Hurtigruten voyage, you don't just visit Norway, you become part of it. Call 855-370-2651 today.
Looking for the very best window treatments? Then look to Hunter Douglas Window Fashions and look to Decor View certified designers to bring the Hunter Douglas showroom to you with a free in-home consultation. Right now, you can save 25% off retail on Duet Honeycomb Shades. Just call 1-800-427-1924 for an appointment. That's 1-800-427-1924. Decor View and Hunter Douglas, the perfect match for all your window treatment needs. 1-800-427-1924.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true, and going back to college is now easier than ever because now My College Laptop can help you find an online college that will provide you with a laptop to help you earn your degree. Get that laptop now and start earning your degree from accredited online colleges and universities nationwide. Call now, 1-800-594-5197. That's 800-594-5197.
Attention active duty, National Guard, Reserve, and retired veterans. If you or a loved one was injured while serving our country anytime after October 2001, you may qualify for up to $100,000 in TSGLI tax-free benefits, even if the injury was not related to military service. Also, if you've been denied VA disability benefits for a service-related issue, we may be able to help. Call the James Rolls House Law Firm at 866-558-9938. That's 866-558-9938.
This is Magic Johnson.
Hey, y'all, this is Quentin Tarantino.
Yo, what's up? This is Jamie Foxx Nonstop here with the two ugliest mofos I've seen in a while. Kevin and Bean on
K-Rock.
Hey! Ha! Hey! Ha! I've been trying to do it right. Hey! I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. Hey! I've been sleeping in my bed. Hey! Sleeping in my bed. Hey! 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 So show me family. Hey! All the blood that I will bleed. Hey! I don't know where I belong. Hey! I don't know.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 637.
There are an awful lot of ways you can get in touch with the awful Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and send a message if you want. You can always email us. You can tweet us. We got the Instagram going. We also have a phone line that is set up 24 hours a day. It's in a back room somewhere, and once a week we check it. And you can call that at 323-520-AFRO and leave us a voicemail message on the Kevin and Bean Afro line.
Is this Bean from Kevin and Bean that I'm talking to or no?
All right, so this is David LaBrava, and he plays Happy on Sons of Anarchy, and he's being interviewed by Muggs.
Is this Bean from Kevin and Bean that I'm talking to, or no, this is another guy?
This is Beer Mug. That's my on-air name. My real name's Johnny. You're talking to Beer Mug.
Is Beer Mug Bean?
No. Bean is Bean, Kevin is Kevin, and Beer Mug is Beer Mug.
Another guy.
Yes.
Cool.
You know, when I interview people, I like to tell them that things are fixed, you know, like... Bean is Bean, and Kevin is Kevin, and Beer Mug is Beer Mug, and this guy is this guy, and this car is the car. But you know what? Also, you know, I'm also Johnny, but, you there?
It was a very confusing interview that Muggs did on the phone with that actor this week. And we got a lot of people who called who said, look, they can take a certain cringe factor on those interviews. They know that that's the deal, is that Beer Mug is terrible at interviewing people. But it was too much. I mean, people literally had to turn off the radio. They couldn't take it.
No, not this person.
God damn it, Beer Mug. Shut up, you sack of shit. Oh, God. Make it stop.
Oh, wait. He did too, maybe. Today and tomorrow... Rain again.
Oh, rain, yep.
Oh, my God. It's raining! It's raining! Everyone forgot how to drag! It's raining!
Hey, it's end times in California right now.
No kidding.
Santa, Mother, effing Carl.
Tuesday, 7:20 a.m., sir.
Dedicated to Ashley. Miss W. Cup, you build him up. Let's have a party. When my doctor told me that he cut my seminal vesicles, I can't make a baby, but I still got testicles, and there's one thing I know I love, and that's boobs. A's, B's, and C's are all fine and good, but there's a pair out there that really gives me wood, and that's a nice sperm pair of juicy double D's. I love all women. I don't care what their race. I love a double D motorboat across my face. Talking boobies. Why not, Bean? This is America.
Well done.
Well done, indeed. I am excited to see Ashley, our Miss Double December 2015. She'll be at both nights of the Acoustic Christmas this weekend.
We didn't get enough out of the topic that Bean thought the mascot for Chuck E. Cheese was cheese.
I did, yes. Defense. I've never been to Chuck E. Cheese, and the character's name is Chuck E. Cheese, so yeah. I thought he must be cheese.
But have you driven by a Chuck E. Cheese? Because they have a...
I don't know. I don't know where there is one. If you were to say, hey, where's there a Chuck E. Cheese? I don't know where there is one. It's possible I've driven by one, but I've certainly never noticed it. But I didn't know, man.
Oh, this guy has one more thought.
I'm already pretty happy that Bean's going to die someday.
Oh. How dare you, sir.
We did Worst 10, or best 10, however you want to look at it, of Bean's tweets for the years.
Yes.
For this year, I'm sorry. And that's what this is about.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do fat. I'm sorry to say it, guys, but that one was actually funny. That was funny, Bean.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I wanted to cut that out so much.
I'm one for a million, apparently.
One for a million, yes.
You had DJ Omar Khan sing No Doubt song. And you didn't have him reprise. Look at your watch now. Super Pop Female. Play it. Play it. I want to hear it. I'm not hanging up until you play it. Play it. Play it. Play it.
She's really waiting for it.
She is. I thought she was kidding.
Dashing through the snow on the drunken party bus. Kevin's at the wheel. We're screaming, let us off. Ralph's about to cry. Bean's anxiety's high. Oh, what terror it is to ride on the party bus tonight. Oh, jingle bells, Kevin smells. Bean just laid an egg. Ralph and Lisa May passed out. Beer mug drank a keg. Jingle bells, Bean just fell. Kevin took a weird drug. Ralph and Lisa May bailed out, and we just fired Beer Mug.
Whoa, she was on key right till that last note.
A lot of singing going on the Afro line today.
A little pitchy, dog.
You know, for me and my family, it's not Christmas until we hear that that fruitcake, what you're making, fruitcake song.
You mean the best Christmas song ever, sir? Is that what you mean? The great Fred Schneider from the B-52s singing Fruitcake?
I can't believe this exists. I love it.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones too. It's Fruitcake.
Now, one of the things that we love about this is that he basically just starts listing ingredients.
You could off of this.
You could bake. You could bake. But it's not a song as much as it is. He's just reading the ingredients.
Yep. Yeah, it's a recipe.
It's fruitcake. Pecans or walnuts.
Okay.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Add what you feel. Sticks of butter. Cinnamon, mo molasses, lots of dark rum, artificial color,
okay,
artificial flavor.
Where is that the oven at?
If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake. What you making?
Fruitcake.
What you baking?
Fruitcake.
Candy cherries, red dye number two.
Green cherries?
Green ones too, it's fruitcake. Baking up fruitcake.
Now, there's still 2 minutes left.
Keep going.
Can you imagine that there's anything left to say?
This has turned into a dance party, though. I gotta give you credit for that. Look at Lisa go, you guys.
She's dancing.
A little bit of mace.
She doing the robot?
Did you say a little bit of mace?
Yes, he did.
I think so.
It seems like a bad fruitcake.
Spray in your face? Oh, no, you sillies.
Sillies.
It's a spice for taste. Put the oven on low. 3 hours or more.
Nope.
Wrap it in rope.
try this recipe, Lisa. I think that's a great idea.
Let's
try it from
we'll
the song.
Come back with our fruit from the song and see
yep.
and compare.
See how it comes out.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it. 106.7. I blame myself.
You should.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Comedian Brad Williams joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's in the other room. He's here, Ralph?
He is here, and he's lovely and charming, and we just couldn't be happier to have him back.
Is he still bite-sized?
He is. No. He's grown. Yeah, now he's a basketball player.
I can't wait to see that. All right, that's coming up right at the top of the hour, and your tickets for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas next hour as well. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
The Foreign Press Association, Hollywood Foreign Press Association, each and every year gives out the Golden Globe Awards, and they have released their nominees this morning, and it's just too many to talk about. So I just want to give you the heads up. If you're interested, go online and check them out.
Okay.
Because really, I've got like 4 minutes, and it's just it would take you four times that much to talk about all the nominees.
Ralph, am I mistaken? It seems to me like every day there's another show nominating. Are they always this close together?
Yes, all the nominees tend to be released at the end of the year. So between now and the end of the year, we will be getting a lot of these nominations, because that's the cutoff usually is December 31st for 2014. You would have to have been produced or released in that time frame to be considered for an award for next year's award season, which happens from February through May, I want to say, for the most part. So,
good enough.
Although I think the Oscars, they tend to nominate late. I think we'll get... By late, I mean beginning of next year, we'll probably see those nominations. You know, we love our lists around here. Interestingly, Forbes has released a list of the highest paid musicians for 2014. Highest paid musicians. And how much they made for the year. Now, this is just 2014. How much was earned by these musicians this calendar year, 2014. Just this year, not total wealth, but simply made the money this year. Are we clear?
Yes.
On what we're talking about?
Could it be a band, or is it a single person?
It could
person?
Be, all right. Kevin, a band.
I have a guess.
And or a single person.
Right.
Forbes magazine, top 10. You want to take your guesses?
I do.
We love this. We love this.
U2 was paid $100 million by iTunes.
U2, not on the list.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow. All right, my turn. I have a guess.
Okay.
The guy who sang this song.
I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
Are you sure they gave them $100 million?
Well, that was the story. Yeah. That's what I heard. Did you hear that, Bean?
I heard that rumored as well, yes.
I don't know.
Well,
it was estimated.
It's not on this list. So,
okay, well, maybe it's not then.
But there are people who have made less than $100 million this year on the list, so I don't know if that...
They just don't know.
Maybe they don't know. Yeah, maybe they haven't cashed in. I don't know.
Okay, who else? All right, here's my guess. The guy who sang this song.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel?
One of the top-earning musicians of 2014?
I wish.
You had to set that up twice. It was so good you couldn't resist. You had to do the setup twice for that one.
In my defense, I said it, and then you butted in with additional information, so I had to reset.
How does that feel? You know, my world's like...
Not good. No, my serious guess is Taylor Swift.
How about hamster?
Got to be Taylor Swift. Got to be.
Not on the list.
Awesome.
Impossible.
Okay, so it has to be touring.
Impossible.
Right? It can't be album sales or what. It has to be touring.
Listen.
Right?
That's not what he said.
That's not what I said. Thank you, Lisa.
The most money
a musician
made this year.
Okay.
Damn it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. Good.
Not on the list.
Seriously?
Okay. It's not a real list, then. This is a joke.
Dr. Dre is number one, Beer Mug.
What?
Beer Mug with number one.
Because they got bought by iTunes, remember? The Beats by Dre.
Because of the Beats by Dre deal. He made $620 million this year.
Shut up.
That's before taxes, though.
Yeah, so he barely can live.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Did you say Beyonce, Lisa?
Yeah.
I
am sorry. She's second on the list.
Okay.
$115 million. She made $115 million this year.
So the difference between one and two is 600 and what did you say?
$620 million is number one. Beyonce, $115 million is number two. So it's a half a billion dollar difference.
That's all.
Rihanna?
Rihanna not on the list.
I think who?
How about Katy Perry?
Katy Perry not on the list.
Pharrell Williams.
Not on the list. Oh. Bean fails.
Are these
well, I'm just throwing out to popular musicians.
Both, Lisa.
Deal?
Up, down, new, young.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, fourth on the list.
Wow.
John made $82 million this year. That's what John
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen made $81 million. He's number five on the list.
With the Rolling Stones tour?
Stones did not tour this year, I don't believe. We're running out of time, so I'll tell you. Toby Keith was 10th on the list.
Oh, we
much to my chagrin.
Forgot about country.
$65 million. Calvin Harris, 9th on the list with $66 million.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney made $71 million.
He's
8th on the list. One Direction made $75 million this year. They're 7th on the list. Justin Bieber, 6th on the list. $80 million this calendar year.
How? He doesn't... He doesn't...
I know.
I'm with Lisa.
I know. He doesn't. He just doesn't.
He doesn't at all.
He just doesn't. And then the only one we missed in the top five was 3rd on the list, the Eagles. The band The Eagles made $100 million this year.
Damn it, I even saw them.
There's your Forbes list for the highest paid musicians of 2014.
All right.
There you go.
So the hamster guy did not make the list.
Yeah, it turns out did not make the list. Celebrity birthdays today. John Kerry, the Secretary of State of the United States of America, 71 years old today. Do you get the sense that John Kerry had half the personality, the statesmanship, the balls as a presidential candidate as he does as Secretary of the State, that he might have been electable?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yes.
Seems like a completely different cat now. When you see him like out there talking about stuff, he's like, this will not stand. He's like balls, and he's just he's a man's man.
Yeah.
When he ran for president, he's like, well, I think the country's got some problems. We should take a look and see what we can do. What do you say, everybody?
I feel like running
for completely different guy.
And they make him...
Completely different
fit
guy.
Fit in this little mold, and yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx is 56 years old today. Rapper Mos Def now goes by the name Yasiin Bey. He is 41 years old today. And actress Haley Steinfeld turns 18. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
As soon as comedian Brad Williams figures out how to get up on that chair, man, we are so going to talk to him.
Listen, I need some time, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Brad Williams.
Oh, hello. I missed you guys.
How long has it been since you've been on our show, Brad?
6.5 months.
That's too long.
Really? We used to have you every week.
Yeah, and then I got a job doing something called morning radio. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No. Is it good? Bad?
Sounds hard.
Oh, it's horrible.
So, Brad,
you have to get up so early.
This is fascinating. And by the way, Brad is in town. We'll find out for how long in a minute, but you can see him at the Ontario Improv this weekend. He's going to be playing Friday, Saturday at you got two shows both nights, right?
Yeah.
On sale now, $18 at improv.com. Go see the great Brad Williams in Ontario.
Come out to Ontario.
So you came in on our show a bunch, and of course, even before we knew you, you had done tons of morning radio as a guest around this great country of ours as a touring stand-up comedian. What was it about morning radio that made you think, hey, that's the full-time job I should be doing instead of just appearing as a guest from time to time?
Well, honest to God, it was all the fun that I had on this show. I thought, wow, I have so much fun. And whenever you guys say thank you for coming in, Brad, I never want to leave. So I thought, well, that'd be great. I can hang out, talk with some friends for 4 hours, go see some concerts, and have radio groupies, which I've heard that those are very prominent. Right, guys? Right?
I haven't seen one in about 25 years. So Brad moves to San Francisco and works for our sister station, Live 105, on a very popular station, on the morning show there. And it only lasted 6 months?
Hey, maybe a week into it, I got a direct message from Brad going, getting up this early sucks. maybe you should have thought of that.
Yeah, well, first of all, this was one of the best parts is the building that I worked in had all these different radio stations in it. And when word got out there was a new morning show on Live 105, all the other morning shows came down to meet us. And it was kind of like that scene from Anchorman where it was like news teams unite and there's like the Telemundo radio station.
Was there a big brawl?
Yeah, like pretty much. Like they all walked in. There's two guys up there in San Francisco radio, and I don't care. I will say how much I despise them.
Okay.
Their names are Fernando and Greg. They do a morning show up there.
Okay.
And they came in and they were just royal D's to us, just like raw. And the best slash worst part is they're both very gay, and they have the accent, and they're just like, so it's like, Oh, yeah, so you think you're going to be good in radio up here? It's a whole nother animal, sister. And then it would snap.
Why do you think any of those other morning shows would come in and try to smack talk? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. They just thought, here's the new guy in town. And
there's no natural rivalry I'm unaware of between the gays and the midgets, is there, Brad?
Oh, you have no idea.
Maybe that's what it was.
There actually is, because who owns the rainbow? The gays want it. We live under it.
Oh, that's right. You live under the rainbow. I forgot about that.
There's such big fighting over the rainbow.
It's awesome.
Many were lost on both sides.
Now, Brad, you said that you told us, and we're pulling back the curtain a little bit on some real life situations here, but you told us that, look, I love stand-up. There's nothing better than being on stage. I've been doing it my whole life. I love it. But the traveling is really starting to – and you thought, hey, this would be a good opportunity to do some stand-up, but then also have a regular life staying in town all week,
right,
which is what you hope to do in San Francisco.
And
how was that not worth it for you?
Well, that part – and when I say travel a lot, I mean I was averaging 45 weeks a year on the road.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So that's just gone. It's gone all the time. And so I was losing it. I needed some stability. So I thought, oh, radio, great. I'll stay in one city. I won't get on a plane every day. And I started doing it. But then there's something about stand-up comedy. You make a joke on radio, and you hope the people listening in their cars and at their desks are laughing. But you make a joke on stage, and you hear the immediate response. And there's absolutely nothing like that. And I really started to miss stand-up
a lot. That was the second direct message that I got, which is I miss stand-up.
Yeah.
Things are not going well.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with Live 105. It has nothing to do with the people that I was doing the radio show with. If ever you guys are in the Bay Area, please listen to Live 105. Kevin Kline Live. That's the name of the show. Kevin Kline is a damn genius. He is funny.
I hear the show got a lot better last week.
Yeah, they unloaded about 115-pound dead weight.
Brad, what did you think of living in San Francisco?
I liked it. I didn't like the parking situation. Okay, and here's the thing. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. I love the Dodgers. We have video of me in a crib with Vin Scully talking. Like, I'm a diehard Dodger fan.
Right.
And when I go to San Francisco, of course, it's a year the Giants win the World Series.
And
I got to be on the radio being like, oh, yeah, the Giants keep winning. And
did you try and hide your disgust or no?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And people would call in and be like, come on, Brad, you live here now. You're a Giants fan. You're Bay Area. You got to be a Giants fan. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And you're like, nope.
I'm a freaking midget. I'm not wearing a jersey that says Giants on it. No. It doesn't.
From that standpoint, it would have been funny.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a jersey of the thing that's been trying to kill me my entire life. And, man, and if you had taken a bet in Vegas of who would last longer, me in San Francisco or Beer Mug being employed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well.
I would have lost everything.
So when you walked in this morning, you were totally surprised to see.
I'm like, he's still here? You know you can't fire him.
We keep thinking the same thing every day when we come in. So you're back.
I'm back. And I don't have a place to live, so I'm like,
yes!
I'm like couch crashing right now. I'm staying at
ladies. He's looking for lodging.
Yes, because at Funny Brad on Twitter, hit me up because right now I'm living on my podcast partner's couch, Adam Ray.
I would not want to be on. I wouldn't want to sit on that couch.
No, you want to burn that couch.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. Wow.
But yeah, it's so I'm back in LA. I can't tell you how much I missed you guys, and this is
well, I'll tell you this, Brad. You came back exactly a week late because we were in Fullerton last Friday broadcasting for the Miss Double December pageant, and we had so many people come up to us and ask, what time does Brad get here? Where is Brad? We always look forward to seeing Brad. I mean, we were seriously bummed to be in your hometown and not have you there.
What year was it, Brad, when I first met you?
Let's see. That was the year Danielle won. So I think that was 4 or 5 years ago.
So we're standing there, and she wins, and this dwarf standing next to me that I don't know, but he's on stage. Like, I don't know.
I just got there.
Like, walked up on stage.
Yeah. Don't stop me.
He got my attention. He said, do you want me to hump her leg? And, of course, my answer to that is absolutely.
Yes.
And he ran out and did that. I was like, this guy's going to be my friend for life.
And a star was born.
And I guarantee every Miss Double December since has been sad to not get that dream. So we got to reinstate that. That's for sure.
I'm going to be at Acoustic Christmas on Sunday.
You're going to love Ashley. Ashley, by the way, is twice your height. She's the tallest Miss Double Disc ever we've ever had.
So she's 5 foot five?
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's amazing.
All right. Brad Williams is here back in Southern California. He's going to be at the Ontario Improv for two shows tomorrow night, two shows Saturday night. Tickets are just $18. That's at improv.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Brad was at a comedy show last night that was the night of 1,000 stars. It's unbelievable the people that showed up at that show last night.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk about it with our friend Brad Williams when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Cozy down jackets and those oh-so-giftable slippers. Nordstrom Rack, the perfect gift every time. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Those slippers are oh so giftable.
Oh so giftable.
That's true. That is accurate.
Hey, the sold-out annual 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is happening this weekend. We have tickets right now for Saturday night. If you want to go see Bush and Fall Out Boy and Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, and Walk the Moon, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Even though we're giving away tickets all day today, all day tomorrow, you are kind of running out of time. The shows are fast approaching. So if you want to go, call now, and we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. You can play a game coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. That's Brad Williams over there in the corner, ladies and gentlemen.
He's back.
Twitter at Funny Brad. He is back and at the Ontario Improv this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night. Tickets just $18 at improv.com. Tell us about last night, Brad.
Oh, man. Last night I came back and I did a show at the Comedy Store.
No, the podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
Oh,
well, the new I will. The new episode with Melissa McCarthy comes out on Monday.
Oh, nice. How was that?
She's never done a podcast before.
Really?
And she did mine and Adam Ray's podcast. The episode comes out on Monday. She is awesome. She's delightful. And we had an amazing time interviewing her.
Right, I don't even think we can get her on our show.
No, you can't.
Well, Brad knows. Now, so
I do.
All
right,
let's talk about last night.
David Tell is in town. He lives in New York, and he was doing this show at the Comedy Store. I was on his TV show called The Comedy Underground. So he called me and said, you want to come do it? I said, absolutely. And we're not quite sure what the lineup was going to be. We knew there'd be some pop-ins. On the same show was myself, Joe Rogan was there, Jeff Ross.
Hold.
Whitney Cummings.
Hold.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So Joe Rogan, unannounced.
Jeff
Ross, unannounced.
Just came by.
Whitney Cummings, unannounced.
Unannounced.
What a great night.
And then we're sitting there going, oh, my gosh, this is so great. Look at this lineup. This is insane. And then as we're all sitting backstage in the green room, Ken Jeong comes
what?
In. Dr. Ken comes in. And he hasn't done stand-up in, like, 5 years. And he saw the lineup. He's like, I'm going on stage. And he goes on stage and starts going nuts. And then we're like, how could this night get any better? Zach Galifianakis shows up.
What?
And he goes on stage. And like,
what's
happening? He just does the movies. And then Dave Attell comes to me and goes, okay, I know you're going to go on after this comic named Jermaine Fowler, who is great, who's so funny. But Zach Galifianakis is here, so you're going to go on after him.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, how dare you, Dave?
Do you want to go after?
How dare you?
Here's what I know from Foolishness is it's very important to comedians who they go after.
Yes.
And like, oh, wait, so the guy who's one of the funniest people on the planet, who's in every amazing funny movie, who is making kind of his return to stand-up, he doesn't do it all that often anymore, he's going to walk out on stage, get a standing ovation before he even says a word,
sure.
Which he did.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go, and now Brad Williams.
you're the buffer. And then they'll boo you, and then the next person that comes
exactly.
out they're fine with.
Then Jeff Ross comes out, they're like, oh, we know him from TV. Okay, that's great. Fantastic.
So how was Zach?
That's awesome.
Oh, Zach was hilarious and such a nice guy. I got to talk to him and I was nervous to talk to him.
I worship that guy. He's one of the only people that seems to have made it completely on his own terms.
Yeah, and I thought my beard was good. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing compared to that dude.
Have you seen him in Birdman yet, Brad?
I did. I saw Birdman. And that's,
he's great.
That's one of the best damn movies.
I didn't recognize him at first.
No.
I didn't even realize it was him.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
He's a terrific actor. Yeah. I mean, he really is, in addition to being a great comedian. But let me ask you this, because I'm a little unclear on something. Mm-hmm. What is it about comedians and you talked about how much work you've done as a comedian and all the traveling and everything.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you guys on a Wednesday night want to get in your car and drive to a club and do more comedy for free?
Here,
like, I'm not driving home from 7-Eleven later today and go, hey, I think I'm going to pull over to the side of the road and do another radio show. I mean, that's my job.
Please,
and I do that.
You would do that in a second.
By the way, side note, I have never talked to Bean more than when I was doing the radio show in San Francisco.
Bean likes radio.
He would call, he would text, yeah. And it's not just like, how's the radio show going? It's like, what do you broadcast at? What's the power of your radio station? What's the range of your towers out there? How many towers do you have? AM or FM?
All right. Now, Brad,
who are you replacing?
It's Thursday morning. Have you heard from Bean since Sunday?
No.
Because you quit. Or Saturday, I say. You quit.
Yeah, you're
Friday.
Not radio anymore.
You're done Friday, and Bean's done with you.
So now I'm dead to him, and man, I could not be happier.
But what about the answer to my question? Like, what is it that makes you guys go out on a weeknight to do extra comedy for free? What are you trying to do there? I mean,
Zach Galifianakis
doesn't have to prove anything.
No, and I will tell you what it is. And this is actually one of the reasons why I stopped doing the radio show and had to come back to L.A. Because I could do more stand-up in L.A., and there's a great HBO documentary called State of Play, and they do an episode on the happiness of football players when they retire from the NFL and how difficult it is for them to remain happy. And there's this guy that studies the brain, and he says that when you do a job that's high risk, high reward, that not a lot of people can do, i.e. football player, surgeon, Navy SEAL, stand-up comic, something like that, if you suddenly take that away, it's the equivalent in the brain of a family member dying.
Wow.
It's that much grief.
So it's a huge loss vacuum in your,
yes.
in your life.
So comedians, they need a hit.
That's exactly it. We have to do it.
When you hear there's other comedians, here's what I like about the – you know, the comedian family is that you don't want to not go because there's Joe Rogan and there are these people that are going to be there that are awesome.
Yeah.
You want to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
I see that and I go, oh my God, I get to hang out with Rogan and Whitney Cummings and Zach Galifianakis is going to show up. Yes. I want to be on that bill.
What a crazy night.
Yeah. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. And it's just one of those moments that I wasn't getting when I was in San Francisco. So why I had to come home, why I had to come back.
We're so happy that you're back, Brad. I mean, we really missed you while you were gone the last 6 months. And we're going to hang out some at Acoustic Christmas this weekend, too. So that'll be fun.
He's not on radio, Bean. He's not on radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That was fun while it lasted, I guess, Brad.
I'm free! Thank God, I'm free!
Improv, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Tickets just $18, available at improv.com, on Twitter, at FunnyBrad.
How many IHOPs are within walking distance of your radio station?
Again, ladies, Brad is looking for a new couch to crash on if you've got a place for him while he's looking for a new home, and BradWilliamsComedy.com. Let's hear it for the great Brad Williams, everybody.
Love you guys. Missed you guys. I'll never leave you again.
Next hour, by the way, not only do we talk to the great Jim Rome about sports, including the dismantling of the Dodgers, but we are also going to do the countdown of the top 10 Omar intros of 2014. Omar does great work on peyote or whatever he's got going on in that other studio. How is this intro not in the top 10 of the year, though, as we play a game for Acoustic Christmas tickets right now called Famous Bush?
Bush, Bush, Famous Bush.
Bush play 991.
Bush, Bush, Famous Bush.
That's why we play this game.
Bush, Famous Bush.
Come on, let's play it right now.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's the weird thing is that we're in a meeting yesterday and we say, okay, here's the name, Famous Bush, which is stupid.
Right.
And then we go, okay, Omar, you make an intro. And that's it. We just move on with our lives. And then he has to go in the other room and figure that out.
And always does it, too. Yeah. That's excellent work,
it's
Omar.
It's not always good.
No, okay. It's not. Famous Bush is the name of the game because we're going to give away some tickets right now for the sold-out Saturday night with Bush on the bill of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And all of the answers are going to involve the word Bush. They're all things called Bush. That's what we're going to be looking for. So we've got a question and an audio clue to go with it. All you have to do is tell us which Famous Bush we are describing, and you go in the drawing to win the tickets. Who's our first contestant?
We have Hugo in Paris. Hi, Hugo.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
hi,
thank
Hugo.
You.
First ever Famous Bush game on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen up here.
Bush, Bush, Famous Bush.
Here's your question and your audio clue. This actress is one of the stars of TV's Chicago PD, but she became famous for her many years on the long-running hit show One Tree Hill. Here's a clip.
Brooke, I never meant to hurt you.
That doesn't really matter, Lucas, because in the end it all hurts just the same.
Who is she?
Sophia Bush.
Yeah, yep. Sophia Bush is correct. Nicely well done, sir. You are in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Richard in Montebello. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Richard, listen up. This famous British singer-songwriter took 35 years off from giving concerts until she roared back this year with 22 shows at the London Hammersmith Apollo Theater that sold out in 50 minutes. Her biggest American hit was this popular K-Rock song from back in the 80s. Listen up. And I get out to who are we looking for this time?
I have no idea who that is. But
oh, so sad you didn't know it was Kate Bush was her name. Kate Bush. Thanks for playing, though.
Well, just give him a second to finish his sentence, for God's sakes. I have no. let's go to Shy and Reseda. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Shy. How have you done with the first two questions while listening on hold?
The first one I got. The second one, kind of hard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hope you're a sports fan. This NFL running back won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans.
All right.
Yes. He wouldn't even let you finish the question.
Come it on, was Reggie Bush. Point. Congratulations. You're in the drawing. Glad I spent all the time putting that audio clue together.
Audio clue.
All right. Who's next?
Next is Eddie in Anaheim. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, Eddie. Speaking of Super Bowls, this company spends more money than any other each year on television commercials that run during the big game, including this one from last February about a dog becoming best friends with a horse. Here's a clip. We let her go. What is the name of the company that bought that ad?
Would that be Anheuser-Busch?
St. Louis, Missouri. Congratulations, you are in the drawing. Well played, sir. Appreciate it.
Bush, Bush, famous Bush.
All right. Next up is Pomona and Arlita. Arlette? How do you say your name?
Arlette.
My bad.
Hi, Arlette. Good morning. Thanks for listening.
Good morning.
If you know your Bible, you know this usually inanimate object described in the book of Exodus is what God chose to talk to Moses through to tell him to lead his people out of Egypt. That conversation
burning
is recreate. Yes, burning bush.
Did you have an honor clue for that, too?
Did
I
you
have a great
honor.
Oh, I'm going to play it anyway because it's so awesome. Listen up.
I am that I am.
I don't understand.
I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
From the 1998 animated movie Prince of Egypt. Right, congratulations, you're in the drawing to win your tickets to see Bush this Saturday night. Who's next?
I like that you just refuse. You're going to play it whether they get it or not because you put the
well,
work
I already
in.
Skipped a couple, but that one was a good one.
Rick in Long Beach. Hi. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Going once, going twice. Let's go to Bethany in Palmdale. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. Yeah.
Your name is Hello. Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, put Bethany on the phone. That's who we wanted.
I got Bethany written up here. All right.
Stephanie, how are you feeling about even participating in a game called Famous Bush? Does it kind of give you an icky feeling?
Honestly, I thought you guys were going to talk about porn stars.
We should have
done that.
Might have
been a better game.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Bush, Bush, Famous Bush.
All right. This popular TV personality has co-hosted the syndicated show Access Hollywood for more than 10 years and always seems to be unnaturally excited to bring us celebrity news like this.
Only we have the wonderful news of Mariah Carey's pregnancy straight from the mom-to-be. Welcome to Access Hollywood.
Who is that, please?
I have no idea.
I feel like we should give it to her because she doesn't know. Because I'm proud of her for not knowing.
That is radio and TV personality Billy Bush is who we were looking for
oh,
this time.
Wow.
I'm sorry, okay. Stephanie, but thank you for playing
me the
anyway.
Bush
right.
one.
Yeah. She wanted
all right,
the Burning Bush
for one.
One
more?
Sure. We have Lauren in Los Angeles. Hi.
Yep. Hi, dude.
Hey, Lauren, this World War II Navy fighter pilot was born in Massachusetts to a U.S. senator and grew up to be a congressman, then vice president, and president. He is heard here in a speech from 1991.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
Who are we looking for this time? Who's the famous Bush?
George H.W. Bush.
Wow.
Look at that. Well done, sir.
Nice.
Well done.
Bush, Bush, famous Bush.
All right, Lauren is in the drawing, as is Arlette, Eddie, and Hugo. Only one will win tickets to the sold-out Saturday night, 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, to see another famous Bush, the band Bush. Lisa, who's our winner, please?
Our winner is Stephanie.
Yay! Stephanie! Our what? Winner is Stephanie. Wait, did you say Stephanie?
She lost. I thought
did
she didn't
lose?
Get her.
Okay, I then I... Shy! Our winner is Shy!
Yeah, I believe Stephanie had the Billy Bush question, and she got it wrong, if I recall correctly.
This is shaky as hell. Lisa, about every other game, draws somebody who didn't win.
That's not true.
Congratulations, Shy.
Thank you.
Night number one. We'll see you then. Thanks for playing. Bush, Bush, famous Bush. The Arctic Monkeys on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:54.
And they're going to be at night number two of the 25th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Actually, they're not, Rodney.
And they're going to be playing with Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm. They're in.
And No Doubt.
They're in.
Has been added to the show.
Right.
Taking the place of U2 because Bono's still recovering. And looks like
not taking the place.
U2 will be coming to the Forum in May.
Right.
Yeah. But No Doubt will be playing as well. Along with
Rodney's
Tears
typing
for Fears.
A book there.
Just going to go on and on forever. And Weezer. It's going to be at the Fabulous Forum.
Right.
It's a great place to do a concert
because
I've seen a lot of shows there in my time.
Right.
Okay, right before Interpol.
He does sound excited today.
We heard Royal Blood doing Little Monster, and they're going to be
night number one
of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Number one, they'll be playing on December 13th with Bush, Fall Out Boy, Linkin Park.
It does make it dynamic.
Walk the Moon. I like Walk the Moon. I played them before.
It's a good story.
And that's Royal Blood doing Little Monster.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Thank you, Rodney. First, though, Ralph has the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Then we talk to our friend Jim Rome coming up on K-Rock.
By the way, that is on our station.
Yes.
That's this radio station that is airing that.
He is paid to be a professional announcer.
As is Kevin.
Oh, so am I, but...
So, what do you want to say now?
Yeah. Nothing.
All right, then. Hall of Fame. Looks like Bill Cosby has been diagnosed by people who have never had a chance to really sit down and talk with him. But the pop psychologist and sex therapist are coming out of the woodwork saying, what's wrong with Dr. Cosby? Well, according to some, like Dr. Mark Griffiths, he believes Cosby has what is referred to as the paraphilia of necrophilia, sexual attraction to corpses.
Oh.
There are some people who really won't go through with necrophilia, says Dr. Griffiths, but having someone who is drugged or asleep may be enough of a similarity that it satisfies this sexual urge. Somnophiliac has also been thrown around. This phrase is someone who is aroused by sex with a person who is asleep or unconscious. It is not a matter of sexual pleasure, says Dr. Judy Kuriansky, but is of dominance or control. So some people speculating this may be the reason Cosby has done what he is alleged to have done.
So their theory is that he didn't drug them because that was the only way he could have sex with them. He drugged them because the only way he enjoyed having sex with them is if they appeared to be passed out or
with
dead.
An unresponsive partner.
Yeah, because he was a huge star. He could have had as much sex as he wanted, probably.
And he ended up paying these women off a lot. He probably could have paid a lot of hookers for the same kind of sex if he wanted it. So people are speculating that was his thing. What are you going to do? While we're talking about stars who fell long distances, O.J. Simpson, certainly one of the biggest, right? Fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba Gooding Jr. has been signed to play O.J. Simpson in an FX miniseries about his life.
That's good casting.
That is good casting. Cuba's a good actor. And it's a fascinating story. I'm surprised no one really has done this before. We haven't seen a movie, to the best of my knowledge, about O.J.'s life, have we?
That's interesting, no.
It certainly is drama-filled.
I'm the juice, whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
Congratulations to Cuba. That's a role that most actors would kill for, so. And Michael Fassbender has to feel good today. You know, this Sony hack where all these emails are being exposed about what goes on behind the scenes of a movie studio.
Right.
First of all, it makes you just shake your head if you're the least bit interested in the film industry and how they make movies. You just say, well, this is why. This is why it all sucks. Listen to these people. They're children.
You're getting that from the emails that are released?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you reading any of these?
Not really, no.
There's Scott Rudin, the producer, going back and forth with Amy Pascal, the head of the the studio about Angelina Jolie and him saying that she's a spoiled brat and she's no talent and she's just a publicity whore and just nothing of merit in any of these, including even when they try to be positive. Michael Fassbender, considered for the lead role in the Steve Jobs biopic that was at Sony. Aaron Sorkin, the writer, said about Fassbender, "I don't know who he is and no one will care about casting Michael Fassbender in the lead role." How do you not know who Michael Fassbender is if you're the least bit in the entertainment industry?
Seriously, he's a huge star.
That is weird.
So one of the producers tried to sway some of the people at Sony that it would be a good choice by directing him to some of his more famous roles, except he suggested they stay away from his role in Shame. Shame famously features Fassbender in a fully frontal nude scene. He said, because it will make you feel bad for having normal-sized male genitalia. So the size of his wang now is being considered as whether he should be the lead in this movie or not.
Yeah. Well, you've always said, Ralph, as others have as well, that Hollywood is just high school. That's all it is.
High school with money. You want to see me make fun of Michael Fassbender's penis myself? Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon at 10 p.m. on Friday night. Kevin and I have been off for a couple weeks, but we're coming back to do Babylon on Melrose at the Improv at 8 o'clock, the earlier show. We're doing the last in the series of Comic-Con theaters where we do live performances of comic books, including this week, Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet number 6, the last one.
I say no.
In that miniseries. So you can check us out if you want to see us at the Improv this Friday night, 8 p.m. at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com.
No way.
To get more information and your tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays.
No, thank you.
John Kerry is 71 years old today.
No.
Nikki Sixx turns 56. Mos Def, a.k.a. Yasiin Bey, he is 41 years old today. And actress Haley Steinfeld, she's 18 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Based in Southern California, the Jim Rome Radio Show is heard weekday mornings from 9 to noon on the Beast AM 980 and on 240 other stations around this great land of ours. Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday mornings means we catch up with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is our final appearance for 2014. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Wait, what?
For us.
Did you just fire me?
No. We're taking vacation.
Man. You earned it. You earned it. I'll take it, man. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We are good. Well, we're fine, but we woke up like a lot of Dodgers fans this morning, kind of shaking our heads going, look, we're seeing a lot of big names go out the door. Matt Kemp being the latest, reportedly traded to the Padres for folks who haven't heard, and not a lot of big names coming in the door. And we're trying to get our heads around what's happening at the winter meetings for L.A.
You know what? It's a good thing. I would not sweat that. I mean, I know you lost your guy, Matt Kemp. And you can't really figure out why, but you got to trust in Andrew Friedman. I mean, this guy knows exactly what he's doing, and the rap's always been, what could this guy do if he had some money, and now we know essentially whatever the hell he wants. In fact, let me put this in terms that non-sports fans can understand, L.A. fans get. The Dodgers just didn't get a nip, a tuck, and some Botox. They threw down for the entire Zellweger package. They overhauled half their face. So they get a whole new double play combination, and they get a quality arm in Brandon McCarthy. And the thing about Kemp, I know you guys love him, but the fact is he's getting older. He costs a lot of money. He's banged up, and they had four guys for three spots. It's actually going to be all right.
A lot of these contracts in all of sports, but particularly we're seeing a lot of them on Major League Baseball because the meetings are going on right now. I mean, at the time you sign these guys to $100, $110, $120 million deals, you feel like it's a great investment and now this person's going to be with us forever. But then 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you've got all this debt and the player's getting older. Like you said, he's not that good and you can't wait to get rid of him. It just seems like they're spending way too much money for a lot of these players, Jim.
You know, that's what rich folks do, man, right? They get paid and they make a mistake and they just throw money at that mistake and they try to make it go away. I mean, not only do you lose Kemp, but they're paying him to go away. They're paying the Padres to take them off their hand. And why are they doing that? You know, the same reason, guys, that anybody can do anything, it's because they can. The thing I like about this is there's this old adage that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. These guys won 94 games last year, and Friedman just took a wrecking ball to it. So if you're a Dodger fan, this guy's extremely well-respected, and you got to be happy that they're not staying with the status quo. They won 94 games, and they're still busting this thing up. I think it's awesome.
Well, and again, Matt Kemp comes on the heels of losing Hanley Ramirez, losing Dan Heron, losing Dee Gordon. I mean, it's going to be a team that, you know, forget being able to stay with a player for life. You can't stay with a player season to season anymore in some games, it seems like.
Now, if you've got Dodger tickets, you're not going to recognize this next team at all. And by the way, they're not done yet. They're not done yet. Cole Hamels could still be coming. And, you know, you're either going backwards or you're going forwards. And I think the change is going to be a good thing for the LA Dodgers. It's one thing to have money and throw money at it, but just buying things doesn't make it right. As long as they spend intelligently, and I think they are, and I think they will, it's going to be a good thing. I think at the end of the day, you and I, we're all going to talk about this, and you're going to say, I can't believe that's how it went, but it worked out.
All right, let's talk hockey just for a minute. The story of the New York Rangers' Kevin Klein is unbelievable and also typical at the same time of the NHL.
Right, I was going to say it is and it's not. You know, for those who don't know, Kevin Klein lost a chunk of his ear during the game, and not only did the guy return to the game, I mean, they literally reattached his ear. He went back into the same game, which would have made him legendary enough, but he won the game with a game-winning goal. I mean, I don't know about you dudes, if I lose a chunk of my ear at work, I'm looking for a place to curl up and die.
Yeah, man.
I am checking out. I'm calling it a life, and that's that. But this guy, the only surprise is the guy even cared about sewing it back on. I would have thought that he would have been like, screw it. Give it to somebody else who needs it. I've already got one.
It is unbelievable how many times hockey players will play with, in this case, a body part missing, but with broken bones they go in and they play for game. They are the toughest competitors in all of sports, aren't they, Jim?
They are, absolutely. They're the best guys in all sports, and they're the toughest competitors in all sports. I mean, these guys, I mean, to get their teeth knocked out, when I was a kid, I once chipped a tooth. I mean, I wasn't right for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And these guys can lose like 8 teeth in a game or an ear or an arm, and it's all right. And by the way, he's not the only guy. I bet there's nobody on their bench that wouldn't have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, that seems to be right. Just the mentality of the NHL is if you can walk, get out on the ice and play.
Yeah, I mean, again, who needs the other ear? I mean, this guy could have lost his nose and he would have gone back out there.
This is the voice of our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking sports. Jim will be on The Beast AM 980 at 9 o'clock this morning until noon. I know we've talked to you about your team tank policy in the past, Jim, that you think the Lakers aren't going to win anything. They're not going to make the playoffs. So why not lose as many games as possible so that they can get a better draft pick for next season? Now you have somebody big on your side. Tell me about that announcement yesterday and what the repercussions of those words are.
Yeah, exactly right. Who cares about a knucklehead like I think? But if Magic Johnson, arguably the greatest Laker ever, not named Kobe Bryant, arguably the most competitive guy ever, not named Kobe Bryant, comes right out and says, I hope that they lose every single game. Now I've got a leader for Team Tank. I'm going to step out of the way and let Magic drive the bus. I mean, that is so awesome. If you're on that team, that's like a reason to go. I hope they lose every single game. In fact, Nick Young said maybe that he should knock Magic out one or two times. And I'm all for it, Swaggy. You should. If it means breaking your hand on Magic's face, that should be good for another 20 losses or so. Guys, I know you guys might not agree with this, but the funniest thing is he's right. They should lose every single game because they're not going to get better unless they get worse, and they do need that draft pick. So it seems counterintuitive, but the dude's right about this one.
How can he be one of the most competitive athletes in sports history, though, and say something that like that out loud? Is his brain just all business now?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great point. I mean, you answered your own question. When you're an athlete, you're not going to say that. If he was on that team, he wouldn't say that. But now he's all business. Now he's like ownership. And now he knows that it's not fun being as bad as they are right now. And they're going to be much worse if they just kind of muddle along and they win games like they did Wednesday. I mean, what a choke job. How do you show up and win a game like they did against Sacramento? That's a losable game. They've got to dig deep, man down, and lose games like that.
Wait, you're calling the Lakers a choke job because they won?
Yes, man. They didn't get off the bus that night. I mean, pay attention, guys. Eyes on the prize. What are you doing crying?
Now, Byron
Scott, Team Tank, brothers.
Now, Byron Scott is saying, at least in the media, just the opposite.
Look, I get it. Yeah, he has to. He has to, and he's also an extremely competitive guy. But deep down, they know this. They need that draft pick. If you get that draft pick, and then you put that alongside Randall, who got hurt, and then maybe you take some of that money you have under the cap, and you convince a free agent to come in, you can rebuild this thing and rebuild it pretty quickly. But if you just are kind of average, you're going to be really bad for a long time. You cannot get good unless you get really bad, and they can't get good, or they can't get really bad unless they get that draft pick.
But isn't there something to
give into it, man? Stop arguing. Just give into Team Tank.
Something to be said for the sportsmanship of it, though. For going out there and giving it your best, giving it your all every single night, and playing to win a game because of the sportsmanship. It's not just a regular business. We're not just talking about stock prices here. We're talking about a sport that competitive people play that they should try to win because that's what sports is about.
the hell are you talking about? Who fed you that nonsense?
What the hell are you talking about?
That's like, it's like AYSO. Should we give out participation trophies too and orange slices for everybody? And no, look, I get it. It's counterintuitive, right? They tell you from day one in sports, the things that you never do, you never ever quit. You never ever give it your all. I understand all these things, but it's just, I hate to say it, it's business. It's reality. They're in a really bad way. They need players. They need talent. They need that draft pick.
I think it's also the difference between short-term thinking, which is we're going to do the best we can this season, and long-term thinking, which is in the next 5 years.
All right, let me ask you guys,
both. Can we get back?
Let me ask both of you guys a hypothetical question then. Let's say you're at that point on the game where you've got a shot to win it as time expires. If you don't take the shot, for instance, because or you intentionally miss the shot, I mean, there's no credibility left in the game
like
at all.
I'm saying this partly, and in small part in jest, but absolutely. I'm not saying that they go out there and they try to lose. There's a right way to tank and a wrong way to tank, and Philadelphia's got this down to an art. You know, essentially what they're doing is they're going out there and they're trying, but they're trying with a bunch of scrubs. They just know that what they're putting out there can't win, so you just don't want to rub it in somebody's face, but I got to say, there is a fine line, and there's something about it that doesn't feel right. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, what's most important is if they get that draft pick. So you can be team car flag or team tank. Make your decision.
I'm team tank. I also think that if you're within 2 points, that's your problem. You shouldn't be that close.
Yeah, right?
So you have to throw off one shot.
Gotcha. Exactly right. Exactly right.
All right. Well, next time we talk, let's see if the Lakers have won. What are they up to now? How many have they won so far this season, Jim? Do you keep track of that?
Five right now.
Yeah.
Five. All right.
More than they should have won
in January. Are they going to be at 10 yet? Do you think?
In January, when we talk again, I hope not. They better not be.
All right.
They better not be. Somebody should be fired if they are. Are you guys really done for the rest of the year?
Well, our last day is Tuesday. Yeah. Next Tuesday, yeah.
Hell yeah. Look at you.
we'll be listening to you a lot through the holidays, Jim, though, so you have fun
you
too, okay?
Are the best. How about you guys come on my show on Wednesday?
No, we would sound like an idiot, Jim.
I'll take that as a no.
Nine to noon on the Beast 980, the flagship station, the Jim Rome Show. Look for him on the TV this afternoon on CBS Sports Network at 3 as well. Have a great holiday, my friend. Great to talk to you.
Have an amazing holiday, and really good that you guys have me back on. Thanks so much. Be good.
Thanks, Jeff.
This is about the time of year we start looking back on the year that was, in this case, 2014, and some of the great moments. And as you'll hear in a moment, some of the not-so-great moments in this particular case. Moments with, for instance, and beer mug interview questions. Those are the type of things I'm talking about. Today, we're doing the top 10 DJ Omar Khan intros. And Kevin, you gave a mention to Omar lately. It's sure easy for us to come up with an idea in the meeting that then Omar has to go in the other room and sing about, right?
Yeah, it's insane. We come up with whatever the game is going to be, and then we just say, Omar, go do that. And then he goes in there and he has to figure out a way to actually do that.
Yeah.
What's your secret? How are you able to pull it off so successfully?
I can answer that. Drugs.
Drugs. And just be going over the top stupid, I think, is kind of like, you know
that's
what I mean?
For me.
If you just don't go like over the top enough, it's just okay. Do you know what I mean? The more over the top, I think the funnier it is, the more memorable it is. I don't want to make anything that just blah. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I just make quality gold, guys.
Right.
That's the answer.
You don't worry about how annoying it is, too. And that's one of the things I've noticed about your intro.
The more annoying, the more better.
That's all right,
true.
So
I've heard
here
you
we go. It's one of my favorite conversations we have all year long. The top 10 Omar intros of 2014.
There's the intro.
Oh, there's an intro for the intro?
Yeah, there's an intro for the intro.
The top 10 Omar intros. The top 10 Omar intros. And I don't think I really the intros are the best thing on the show. The top 10 Omar intros. And now it's time to let you the know. The top 10 Omar intros. Oh, yeah.
So now that one's in the running for the top 10 intros for next year, right? We can play that one.
I actually did that in 2013.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Half of the intros, when I was going back, I don't remember doing them whatsoever.
All right, we have 10.
We have 10, right.
What's 10th?
Coming in 10 is Ask a Lawyer. It's a parody of Avicii's Hey Brother.
Yeah.
My My voice rocks.
Huh? All right, I'm gonna say one more thing about how difficult this is, and I want you at home or in the car to just think, like, what would you do if the game was called A Slice of Nice Mice?
This is a perfect example of you guys get Ralph found it so funny in the meeting. He was
because,
like,
it's terrible.
Exactly. Right. So he's all like, this is what it's called. Go ahead. And this is what I came up with.
A slice of nice mice. All you have to do is get some mouse today. A slice of nice mice. A slice of nice mice.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
Considering the name.
Yeah. Number eight, I did a parody of Wonderwall. We were giving away tickets to WonderCon. So we were doing the Wonder Contest, and this is what I did.
Yeah, 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 we're playing for WonderCon. This is WonderCon Contest.
Oh my
That's
God, I'm so
powerful
stupid.
Singing.
Thank you.
What was the game for the jingle at number seven?
It was called It Takes Two, and we were giving away second row tickets to, I believe, Weenie Roast.
Okay.
And this is my – and I think Easy Rock had just passed away.
Okay.
So that Rob Bay song was kind of like, you know, all up in my dome.
Right, sure.
So I decided to parody It Takes Two.
Don't be a winner. No, not loser. Too good a weenie. Gets right to a second row weenie. It's so easy. I mean, don't be stupid like some people like – morning show. So now it's time, Winnie, second row. Let's go, cuz.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Getting jiggy with that
You're
jam.
You're as good at rapping as you are singing. All right, a couple of weeks ago, we were giving away tickets to this weekend's Acoustic Christmas Show, and we did a game with real Fall Out Boy titles, right? Versus fake Fall Out Boy titles.
Right.
You have to tell us which is which, and that game was called Real Boy or Fake Boy, and here's DJ Omar Khan's intro.
You guessed it, real or fake. That's all it really takes. With your booty going shake, shake, shake.
Oh, yeah.
A real boy. Fake boy.
Yeah.
A real boy. Fake boy.
How's that done, number one?
That's awesome.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And number five, we were giving away tickets to Breakfast with Jack White.
Okay.
And, you know, he's famously a great guitarist. So mm-hmm. we were taking guitar riffs and playing those, and people had to guess what song it was from. And I came up with this song for Riff It.
KMB is here and we're in effect. Want you to go see Jack playing the Red Bull South Base. Kevin and Bean Breakfast. Come on, yo, you have to show the guy that you know how to become number one. And with ticks to the show, now rip it.
Ah, nice.
Rip it. Rip it good. Ah, rip it. Rip it real good.
Counting down the top 10 Omar Khan intros of 2014. I don't even remember the game at number four. What was this?
So this game, I forget what it was for, what kind of prize we were giving away, but it was Lisa Shady. Basically, we gave Lisa some rap songs and she would
nobody
rap.
Raps better than her.
Exactly. So this is an intro that I did.
Was it Eminem at the Rose Bowl, maybe?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I had some help from Lisa on this one. This comes in at number four.
Because she's Lisa Shady. Yeah, she's the real Shady. All you other Lisa Shadys are just imitating. So walk the real Lisa.
Yeah, yeah, West Side, Thug Life.
Thug Life indeed.
Lisa, what's happening?
You and me, Omar.
Yeah. Best team ever, right?
Absolutely.
At number three, we were giving away tickets to Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, and we decided to, Ralph decided, that to do Laugh-A-Rokey, since I'm the Omar-Rokey guy
uh-huh.
who can't sing. So basically what I would do is... laughs. I would impersonate somebody's laugh, okay?
Yeah, comedians, so, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? So this is a perfect example of something that really sounded good in my head.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I was going to do a parody of Iggy Azalea's Fancy
right.
for the intro to Laugh-A-Rokey.
Laugh-A-Rokey! Omarelli blows! Just guess the laughing! You win tickets to the show!
I like that you have to make fun of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, I do. At number two, welcome to the OC. I think we were giving away tickets to the Ducks playoffs, I think, maybe. Yeah, we were giving away tickets to Ducks playoffs games, so we did OC trivia. And welcome to the OC, I had a parody, Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the OC, this is our game. Ducks playoffs, tickets you want, you'll never be the same. OC, welcome to the OC.
It's like having Axl Rose right here in the room with us, though.
A lot of cocaine on that one.
Wow.
A lot of cocaine. A lot of cocaine.
And how could there be anything better or worse than that?
And number one, it's we were racking our brains for, it seems like, a couple of years to find a new Internet Roundup theme.
Yeah.
Okay? So we opened up the, like, you know, not a contest, but we were accepting submissions for... listeners to submit it, and I was on vacation the weekend you guys did that, and I come back and I find a terrible beer mug rat one,
right.
So I decided to do my own and actually replace the Internet Roundup theme. Here it is.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too, we've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
Nothing hotter.
Yay!
Nothing hotter in 2014 than Cameo.
Nah, you don't know, dude. That's what the kids are all listening to. So those are my top 10 intros.
The top 10 Omar intros. Oh, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:43.
Are you hot?
Burn.
What are you eating?
What are you eating?
What
that looks
you
good.
Get? How come?
This is a supreme croissant breakfast sandwich from Jack in the Box.
I love Jack in the Box so much.
Don't give them so much wrong
yeah.
with you. Christine doesn't understand the concept of the burn.
She's too nice for the burn.
How am I going to burn them by eating this in front of them if you hand them
Wait,
the sandwiches?
I'll take them out. She brought in three for Mugs and one for Kevin.
Oh, what's wrong with her?
By the way, that's true. Here's what's funny.
It's the best damn breakfast sandwich on the planet Earth.
Lisa can't play that game because she's too nice.
Yes.
And Christine can't play that game because she's too nice.
Girls are too nice.
You sort of have
you
to be a dick.
All
the
she had to do was do
I
nothing.
Agree.
That's all she had to do.
I know. I hear you.
Oh, so good.
Jack in the Box is so good, by the way. Thank you for that, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming by, guys.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to like it.
A couple of weeks ago, Ralph did a story that we all thought was fascinating about the beautiful Sofia Vergara from TV's Modern Family. She, by the way, is 42 years old, has lived in the United States since she was in her early 20s when she moved to Miami, but never became a United States citizen until this year. She bragged on Jimmy Kimmel Live that you have to jump through a lot of hoops to make sure that you deserve to live in America. They ask you 100 questions, and she got them all right on the U.S. citizenship test.
Yay!
She got 100%.
100% of the U.S. citizenship
cake.
Test.
What are the colors of the flag? Yeah, anyone can do that.
Now, Ralph suggested at the time that it might be fun for us to take the United States citizenship test, and I agree. Now, my question for you, Ralph, as I have it in front of me, is do we just ask Kevin, or do we go around the room?
How dare you?
I think we all expect Kevin not to get any, but if Lisa and I, two reasonably intelligent people, can't get them either, then I think that would just indicate how difficult it is to pass
there
the test.
You go.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got a few of the questions.
Spread them around. Spread them around.
Just spread them around and go. All right. We'll start with Lisa, ladies first here. The first question of the U.S. citizenship test is: how many changes or amendments to the Constitution are there?
Wow.
Seven.
Really? You thought
really?
There were only seven?
Really,
I don't know. It's hard to make.
How about the 19th Amendment? Does that ring a bell at all? The 19th Amendment? No. 21st.
Weren't those originals?
None of their amendments.
Well, not if they're amendments, Lisa. They're amendments to the Constitution.
I misunderstood the question.
Get out of the country. Get out of the country.
Does she get deported now?
That's what they ought to do with the citizenship. If you don't get 100, they should make you leave.
Well,
there
I'm
are
just
27 amendments to the Constitution.
I said seven. I meant 27.
Right.
Damn, I would have known.
All right.
One.
Kevin, you are next, Kevin. What is – all right, I'll give it to you then, Rob.
Give me
What is the Bill of Rights?
What is the Bill of Rights?
Yes. What is it?
That's strange.
It is a strange question.
Sort of the Bill of, itself.
Bill of Rights.
Can we have multiple choice, please?
Is the addendum to the Constitution of the United States.
That is correct. It is the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution. That is the Bill of Rights. It's the first 10 amendments.
All right.
Kevin,
I'm staying.
Who becomes president if both the president and the vice president die?
Speaker of the House.
You are correct, Kevin.
Thank you! Boom!
And for extra credit, Kevin,
nope.
Who is the Speaker of the House?
Come on. You can't do that. I answered a question correctly.
It is John Boehner. Tip O'Neill. Is the Speaker of the House.
Tip O'Neill.
Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House.
Tip
He's been
O'Neill.
Dead for some time.
I don't know.
All right,
I got
Lisa,
it right. I want to remind people.
You did get it right.
All
right.
Lisa's leaving.
Uh-oh.
Lisa's out.
Lisa's already been deported, but let's ask one more question while she gets on the boat. Lisa, your question. And these are in order, by the way. I'm not like picking and choosing here. These are the first four questions on the quiz.
He says that because it's a hard one.
Who is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court?
I
think I know this one.
I think it's Roberts.
That is correct. John Roberts
is
the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
She doesn't have to come up with John.
Me. Can I get halfway off the boat?
We're using John. the Jeopardy rules where last names are enough, Kevin.
You can get off the boat, but you're still
on
the dock.
I'm half on the boat. One on the dock.
All right. Ralph is up next. U.S. Right. Citizenship come quiz. On. Who was the person who said, give me liberty or give me death?
That was Patrick Henry.
You are correct. Prominent American Revolutionary War figure. You are right.
I could have taken 50 guesses that I wouldn't have gotten.
Never would have come up with Patrick
Henry. I was going to say John Paul.
All right.
By the way, the article that I read said the most common answer for that question is Mel Gibson in his Patriot movie.
I like it.
Because apparently he said it.
That is such a Kevin answer.
Those are acceptable. Fantastic.
All right, sixth question. This one's for you, Kevin. And then maybe we'll just do one more quick round around the room.
Right.
What was, and I have no idea why they chose this state to ask about, what was the 49th state added to the United States?
Oh, it's easy.
It is easy, but why would they ask this on a citizenship quiz? I don't understand
it.
Most
silly.
Recent, I guess. And it was a big one. It was a big deal.
Right. Question is to Kevin Wright.
Oh, it's for me?
49th state added to the United States.
Hawaii?
Because of the very popular TV show Hawaii 4-9?
Oh, is that why they call it that?
Yes!
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
Is that why they call it that?
Come on!
Who cares why they named the show? Hawaii 5-0 is...
That's the reason why it's called 5-0.
But that's what they call the cops there, right?
But that cops came from
All
the name
right.
Hawaii 5-0.
I'm with Lisa.
Not first.
I'm getting out of the country.
Unbelievable.
Oh, shut up. What is it?
The answer is Alaska. Alaska was 49. Hawaii was 50. They both came in the Union
Hawaii
in 1959.
In the title.
I was within.
It's humiliating enough without you all jumping on board.
Thank you, Lisa.
God.
It's not talking cheese.
But Hawaii is the 49th state.
Stop.
Lisa, does it astonish you? All right. We're desperately late. You want one more round or not?
Come on.
All right, one more round. Lisa May, who was the main writer of the Declaration of Independence?
Awesome. That's great.
Jefferson.
Yes, correct. Thomas Jefferson. Ralph Garman, who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner?
Francis Scott Key.
You are correct as well. Kevin, how many times may a senator or congressman be reelected?
Senator or congressman?
How many times may a senator or congressman be reelected according to the United States Citizenship Quiz?
I think that's unlimited.
You are correct, Kevin. It is unlimited.
Thank you.
Why they call it Senate 5-0.
Standing O.
So most of us get to stay.
Yay.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Where's Jack in the Box?
Other room. Dr. Drew's coming up just after top of the hour.
Yep.
And don't forget, tickets on the floor for both nights of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas. We've got them for you at 9 a.m. and then every hour at the top of the hour all the way up till 5. Hey, Ralph, you go back for another burger?
No. I was getting tips on how to do radio from Brad Williams. Taylor Swift is reason enough not to watch Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
How dare you?
That's a terrible show. Even without Taylor Swift, that's a terrible show.
It is. But now there's serious reason not to watch because of the competition across the street. Our friend Carson Daly. We might have to have a conversation with him about this. Carson Daly's New Year's Eve with Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm.
They just released their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen Stefani.
Nice.
No surprise because of their connection together with The Voice, right?
Right.
Blake Shelton and Pharrell Williams from that show also joining Carson. A singing Seth MacFarlane will be singing selections from his holiday album that's just out now.
Okay.
Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga performing together as well. Right now, huh?
Look, the difference between Carson Daly is enough. I mean, he's a much better host anyway.
Yes.
That's enough.
But you can see those people, or you can watch Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no thanks.
No thanks, right? I'm so about that. You should have cars.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
The CW has a show called America's Next Top Model. I've never watched this program. But I am all for this woman who is suing Tyra Banks, who is a creator, producer, host of that show, I assume.
That's
her name is Angelia Preston. She was a former contestant on season 17 of America's Next Top Model. She claimed she was disqualified from the modeling reality show because of her background, when she used to work as a prostitute.
Oh.
She was an escort, a call girl, a courtesan.
Now, we've seen a lot of stories over the years with contestants being kicked off American Idol and other shows because of something in their background. And is the problem that they don't disclose it? They lie about it? Or is
I don't
the problem
believe
that
she was ever arrested or anything for it, but somehow her background as an escort came to light. And she claims that's the reason they removed her from the show.
They had that one AI contestant a few years ago, remember the huge voice who had turned out to have done a little bit of nude modeling, and they kicked her right off
Frenchie,
the show.
Wasn't she Frenchie?
Frenchie, yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's a big Broadway star, so she's fine. But
Big Broadway star.
So she's suing America's Next Top Model for this, huh?
Yeah, she wants $3 million for intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress.
I'm not looking for ANTM, as in America's Next Top Martian. I'm looking for America's Next Top what?
Did Tyra Banks, was Tyra Banks afraid we thought she was looking for America's Next Top Martian?
Little taste of how great that was.
I would like to sue for $3 million also, just because that was on the air. And now I've been inflicted with intentional distress. So, I don't know if this woman has a case, but I wonder how much money she made as an escort.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like a hot escort. And this saddens me. They were one of my favorite showbiz couples. Frida Pinto and the Newsroom's Dev Patel have called it quits after 6 years of bliss. Yeah. They were the perfect couple.
They were.
Yeah. We fell in love with them in Slumdog Millionaire. Now they're going their separate ways. Ah, well. Nothing lasts forever.
What are you going to do?
And who's the richest musician for 2014? Forbes magazine list was released this week.
Rodney on the Rock.
It's not Rodney on the Rock. He was second on the list. Dr. Dre.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, Dr. Dre, because of his Beats company, selling them to Apple with a $3 billion deal. He earned $620 million this year. Not a bad...
Ralph Garman.
No, he did not make that kind of coin.
$620 million in a year.
But that's before taxes.
Okay.
So, right.
He doesn't see much.
It's like $20,000 when it's all said and done.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Congratulations, Dr. Dre.
I'm Santa Claus.
Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon. We're doing the 10 o'clock show. Come out and see us. Make fun of our industry betters. And at 8 o'clock, if you're so inclined, we're also doing our Comic-Con theater where we create live comic books read for you, performed on stage. Kevin and myself and some members of the audience will be performing it like a radio play with sound and music and special effects.
No.
Everybody gets a copy of the autographed comic book as well if you come out at 8 o'clock. Go improv.com for details and for tickets for Friday night shows.
Some people get sad when they're drunk. Some people get angry when they're drunk. Ralph actually gets funnier.
Yeah, I do.
It's true.
He really does.
First the laps, then the vomit, I always say, when it comes to my drinking. Secretary of State. Kevin, who's the Secretary of State?
John Kerry.
John Kerry celebrates his 71st birthday.
Please, like, you guys can get anything by me.
This is like Flowers for Algernon. Kevin's just he's taking his meds
what that
today.
Is. Ever since he learned about Hawaii 4-9, man, you can't stop him.
That's the name of cops. You know the
do any other cops in the other 49 states call themselves?
But you know the
California 1-9 or whatever.
The, no, you know rappers and gangsters called the cops 5-0 because of the TV series Hawaii 5-0, right?
Yes,
because
it's a show about cops.
It's a show about cops, but the
right.
But that wasn't the name of the cops.
It was the name of the force. But I didn't realize the name of the force was tied to the 50th state or 49th state. I'm confused.
50.
Are you?
Thank you, Lisa.
You think?
Lee Siegel's 50.
Motley Crue bassist Nikki Six is 56 years
Numbers
old today.
Numbers are hard.
Thank you, Lisa. Numbers are hard.
Rapper Mos Def, now known as Yasiin Bey, he is 41 years old today. And actress Hailee Steinfeld is 18
Shut up,
years old. 4'9". I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Renee Lopez from Covina. Got tickets on the floor for both nights of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
So lucky. So lucky.
Yeah.
Got those for you to win every hour at the top of the hour all the way up until 5 p.m. Looking forward to Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to be there. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning. I will be there. I am looking forward to it. It's going to be very cool.
Do you have fun at those shows, or are you just so mobbed by everybody who wants to talk to you that you don't really get a chance to enjoy the music?
No, I do enjoy the shows. In fact, I don't like concerts, and I don't like crowds, but I look forward to the Acoustic Christmas every year. It's just such a festive, such a happening, such an event.
I love it, too. But people aren't coming up to me going, look at this. Do I have cancer?
So Kevin, that will not happen Saturday? You won't do that to me? Is that what you're saying?
I will, but I'm saying
yeah,
I
that hope. Is the downside of being a doctor. Well, listen, Doc, I've been tuning in from time to time across the week on your HLN show, and it seems like you're always talking about Bill Cosby. But there is another story that's going on that a lot of people seem to be invested in, and this is the Eric Garner case. Have you talked much about that on the TV?
Yes, every day. Thank you for tuning in. The time to time must be once a month or something, because that, we've been very focused on that. In fact, I'm in New York this week, and it's been quite uptight here. I mean, things are really on edge.
Hey, how about a little less snobbery about your TV show? Now, for folks who don't know,
watch it, I would.
For folks who have just heard the name or just saw Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and others wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirt, what are the essential facts of the case, Doctor?
Well, the essential facts was there was this large gentleman here in New York City who was selling cigarettes illegally on the street. He was a gentleman with a little bit of a track record in the community with some criminal activity. And the police sort of went after him a little bit, and he began resisting. And a group of them took him down using a technique. A key component of the takedown was something called a chokehold, where they same thing, basically the same thing they use in martial arts, where they put the forearm across the neck and choke people, and it causes them to be, you know, compliant. And the guy died. And as a result,
Let me just stop you right there. The guy died. That's weird, because I've seen 1,000 chokeholds in MMA, and they're fine. They come right back. What was different?
What's different is there were two components that were different. One is the chokehold didn't release. The guy was saying, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And they persisted, and there were about four other guys standing on this gentleman who is quite obese. And you know,
over 400 pounds, right, Doc?
That's right. And people don't understand the effect of what's called transthoracic pressures. I mean, just the weight of someone's body, the body weight, the obesity, causes all kinds of pulmonary and vascular problems. You've heard, of course, of sleep apnea. That's just the weight of the body against the chest makes the work of breathing extremely difficult. Your airway is still just this narrow little tube, and if you constrict the tube and impair the ability of the chest wall to move, you really can rapidly cause asphyxiation.
Hmm. All right. Now, this actual arrest happened some time back, but it's back in the news because the New York grand jury that came out a few days ago made the announcement that they were going to not indict the police officer who put the chokehold on the man, Eric Garner. He claims he never used – the police officer, by the way, in an internal affairs investigation says he never used a chokehold. But, I mean, I saw the same video you did. That's the definition of a chokehold, what he did, isn't it? Don't you think, Dr. Drew?
I thought so. And, again, this is on the heels of Michael Brown, and sort of, and it was, you know, a Caucasian policeman and African American suspect, and it seemed like excessive force. And whether you use a chokehold or not, one of the things that shined a light on was that police and God, listen, I'm not taking aim at police. And let me just say also, one of the things I keep saying in Los Angeles, we are very fortunate. I mean, you rarely hear about lethal force being used in Los Angeles. We have canine units and rubber bullets and beanbags. And, you know, and I cornered a sheriff one day over near K-Rock, in fact, and I asked him, I said, is it really that you guys just use a different technique? And he said, yeah, we have more resources, and we don't have to use lethal force, and we don't want to. And but each little community has to establish its own police force and its own police policies and procedures, and we're really shining a light on the fact that there may need to be some kind of standard, number one. And number two, the other thing is that the criteria against which police are measured – by the legal system as to whether they intended someone to die is really a very high bar. You have to be able to prove that they intended to kill the guy.
Right.
They intended to. And that's a weird law. I mean, listen, as a physician, we get held accountable for deaths all the time. We are assumed only to be trying to help, and yet we're still held accountable. These people are trying to harm somebody, and you can't hold them accountable unless they intended to kill the person, which is impossible to prove.
Here's the other question I have for you about the Eric Garner case and how it's so different from Michael Brown down in Ferguson is, look, whatever you think of the police officer involved in the Michael Brown shooting, you can at least understand that he thought his life was in danger as the man was going for his gun. At least it was a life or death situation that led to that shot being fired.
Yeah,
there were tons of police officers. I mean, weren't there four or five police officers around in this situation in New York? And the guy was unarmed. So was that much force really necessary?
Well, that's the question here. And you know, we're all, you, Bean, and I are looking at this little piece of videotape. A grand jury looked at a lot more evidence. But I my thing is, you know, of course it brings up the issue of racial issues, racial profiling. And that's mostly what's creating a lot of the energy on this on the East Coast right now. And reasonably so. I mean, we got to keep looking at these issues and try to do a better job. But, yeah, excessive force is something that keeps coming up as – And the same point I make, again, you don't – Los Angeles, you know, why can't we have sort of standards that other police forces use? Los Angeles seems to do such a wonderful job with this.
Dr. Drew, not to wade into a whole nother deep pool, but I did see like a list of all of the cops that were white that killed perpetrators that were black. And it seems like it's sort of an assumption that that has something to do with every time somebody dies.
Well, you're wading into deep waters quickly, and that's what people are saying, although the data doesn't necessarily support that. What is your point exactly?
My point is that could have been a white guy just as easily who ended up dying, and nobody probably would
have cared. It wouldn't have made the news, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made the news.
Well, that's right. And if you look on social media, you'll see lots of examples of the other way around. And I've been the object of the other way around and really didn't think anything of it. I thought these guys have a tough job. You know, they're doing the best they can. But, it you know, these are old wounds. These are old issues. And these, you know, and there are communities that do feel put upon. And,
yeah.
You know, again, they need to do a better job of community policing. And the communities themselves need to reach out to the police as well. I mean, both sides need to do a better job.
Right. That's a good point, Dr. Drew. And look, let's also remember that police officers are human beings, and sometimes they do make mistakes, just like we all make mistakes in our job, too. But unfortunately, their mistakes are sometimes life and death decisions.
And their job is so tough, so hard. But, you know, like any other profession, we're always trying to do a better job. And if we, you know, if we tell police that they must use less force, crime is going to go up. I mean, what do we want? If you know, they're trying to serve us. We're the ones trying to. You know, they're trying to make us happy, and I know we all don't want more crime.
Man. You can listen to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday night at 6 p.m. So if I tune in tonight, you'll be talking about this, right, Doc?
Of course. You got it.
He and his panel of 20 hot chicks.
Exactly. All right, man, you're the best. We'll talk to you next time.
All
bye-bye.
Right, take care, guys.
I feel like you're clapping alone.
I am.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Here's Ralph with his final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Hey! Did you like Guardians of the Galaxy as much as I did?
Loved.
Well, you can get the Blu-ray combo pack now, which is a Blu-ray, of course, of Guardians of the Galaxy, but also, as well, to Tambien, the 3D Blu-ray of Guardians of the Galaxy, plus you also get a digital copy of the movie. All that's available. And I'm going to give away four of them right now. But yeah! It gets better. I'm also going to throw in front of the line passes to the James Gunn signing. James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, the man who brought us this amazing new world that we all love so much, is going to be at Amoeba Records this Friday. You'll get front-of-line access to the James Gunn signing, so you'll get your Blu-ray combo pack signed by James Gunn if you're one of four lucky callers who gets through right now at 1-800-520-1067. First four callers to get through, get this Guardians of the Galaxy gift.
Basket. Or just gift.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Time Magazine has named their person of the year. It's not one person. It's a group of people. It's the Ebola Fighters. By the way, if there isn't a band called the Ebola Fighters by noon today, I'm going to be seriously disappointed in the youth of America because that is an awesome name.
Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the Ebola Fighters.
So that nurse that everybody hated that they tried to quarantine in New Jersey and then they sent her home to Maine and then she went out and got soup and everybody was yelling at her, she's now Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
I guess she's in the group.
I guess she's in the group.
Yeah.
Editor of Time Magazine sums it up like this. Ebola is a war. The global health system is nowhere close to strong enough to keep us safe from infectious disease, and us means everyone, not just those in faraway places where this is one threat among many that can claim lives every day. It is a warning. The rest of the world can sleep at night because a group of men and women are willing to stand and fight for tireless acts of courage and mercy, for buying the world time to boost its defenses, for risking, for persisting, for sacrificing and saving. The Ebola Fighters are Time's 2014 Persons of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the Ebola Fighters!
Ebola, Ebola, don't touch your friend.
I gotta say,
we're lucky
those people exist. I mean, that doctor that was in the hospital that almost died, that had the Ebola, he almost died, he's back in, like, Sierra Leone treating more Ebola victims now.
Because now he can't get it again.
Well, I'm not sure it works like that.
Bulletproof.
But thank God those people exist.
He got the Ebola vaccine, and now he can do anything.
Are you positive of that?
He was bitten by a radioactive Ebola, and now he's Ebola, man.
No,
and he can make you squirt blood out your butt.
None of that is true.
I hope that last part's not true, especially.
It's my new comic book, my follow-up to Batman 66, Reese the Green Hornet. It's Ebola Man makes you bleed out your butt. Nobody wants to run up against him.
That's true.
I'll tell you that. Price is Right. Very proud of themselves. They've just announced they have hired a male model. A male model.
Wow.
So Drew Carey says, you can win this brand new car. Some dude standing there.
Is that his wang out?
Probably.
That show's still on?
Yes, it's still a huge hit.
Very popular.
This is the second male model in the show's history. James O'Halloran is his name. He's a sexy Australian, ladies. But he's not just a good-looking guy. He's got a brain, too, he wants you to know. He studied industrial design for 4 years. And now he's pointing at snowmobiles.
A new car!
He says, learning the ropes of the Price is Right can be complicated.
Hey, you just ruined that whole smart thing.
You're a smarty. You're a smart one, James.
A new car!
All right, okay, a new car. We got a new car.
Well, a new car!
All right, we got a new car.
I don't know.
Bean just fainted.
I'm fine. I'm back up now. Okay. I don't know who's watching The Price is Right, but I assume there are a lot of ladies as well at home watching. It's on during the day, so maybe a little something for them, right?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Because ladies have to stay at home, Bean, is that what you're saying? Ladies should be pregnant and barefoot making dinner, is that why?
No, they should, but that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is there probably are a lot of women available in the TV viewing audience, so
you know,
why
the,
not
the number one audience for Price is Right?
College students.
Yeah, college students.
Is that
college
right?
Students, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I
had an idea.
Right.
The
price is wrong, bitch. I wonder what the best prize you can get on a Price is Right is.
A new car!
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome.
We are spending a lot of time on Price is Right.
A new car!
Probably would have been more useful sound effect about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah,
but
pretty strong. Sir Paul McCartney has announced he is working on an animated film. And I'm glad to see that he's putting just as much time into his animated films as he is his songs.
This is going to be terrible,
isn't
it?
It's the story of Whirl the Squirrel.
Come on. Does he not have anyone to tell him you're an effing beetle? Stop it.
The character's name is Whirl the Squirrel.
Come on.
How hard did he work on that?
He didn't.
Squirrel. What? Scat the Cat already has been taken by Disney? Fig the Pig? What's the matter with you, Paul?
And I'm serious, too. I know that I'm not a Beatles fan, but you guys are. But you guys agree with me, right? Somebody needs to tell him, stop doing dumb things.
He's writing a bunch of new songs for this animated cartoon that he wrote the character for and the script for, so that's what he's working on next. So look forward to seeing a movie called High in the Clouds.
Nope.
Featuring Whirl the Squirrel. I think maybe that's Paul's problem, is High in the Clouds. Maybe.
Yeah.
And we may be looking for a new place to live in New York City. This sounds like a pretty good deal. Rosie O'Donnell's selling her New York apartment for $9 million if you're looking for a place.
For an apartment.
She has announced, because she's working on The View now here in Los Angeles, she's putting her New York place up for sale. $9 million for a New York apartment. Real estate ad says it has 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and 12 fridges. So, if you want to pick that up. Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babble on the return of the Babble. At the Improv on Melrose at 10 p.m. Love to have you come out and join us. 8 p.m. we're doing our Comic-Con Theater, where we take a comic book, in this case one that we wrote, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, number 6. And we perform it live on stage along with some members of the audience and sound effects and music.
Nope.
It's a good time. Everybody gets an autographed copy of the book as well. So come out and see us. 8 p.m., 10 p.m. Go to improv.com for more details and for tickets.
Plus, somebody will win
a new car!
There's an excellent possibility of that not happening. Huh. Today's celebrity birthday is John Kerry. The Secretary of State is 71 years old. Nikki Sixx turns 56 years old today. Mos Def, a.k.a. Yassine Bey, is his new Muslim name, 41 years old. Haley Steinfeld, the lovely and talented actress. You fell in love with her in True Grit. She was also in Romeo and Juliet. She was in that movie with Harrison Ford where he mumbled a lot.
That's all of
them. Oh, that one. Ender's Game.
That doesn't narrow
right.
down.
That's right. 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have the top 10 internet roundup videos of the year.
Okay.
Very exciting. We have RJ Bell from Las Vegas telling us about his picks for week 15 of the NFL. And another losing week. I believe he was 1-2 last week.
He said, look, he's always said, every Coming time we praised him, he said, look, it just doesn't work like this.
We have Movie Beat tomorrow, and Kevin Smith, writer, director, friend of the show, Kevin Smith, will be here as well. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new show.